What's up, everybody? In this episode, we talk about our unlearning. And in our unlearning, what are the new aspects of Jesus that we have missed in all the years of being saved? We share some really cool stories. We argue that Eminem's Lose Yourself might be one of the greatest worship songs ever written. We're excited to share with you some new ways that you can experience Jesus in your own life. Please enjoy the episode. And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Round Table. Tis your boy, Man Wheezy. I got my queen to the left.
Hello.
The real to the right.
What up?
And we are in here like swimwear. How you guys doing?
Ooh. Right.
I was a little old school.
Official just, like a referee with a whistle. That's a good one.
Blow the whistle. That's
an old person. Why are we like doing dad jokes right now?
Oh, this is great.
I love it.
Ready?
Here's the interesting thing right now. We don't have vino. Today we're just doing water.
Yeah, we're just doing water today.
Yeah.
I feel I'm glad that we're doing water
because I need to hydrate.
My tummy feels weird.
Yeah, so. I need to hydrate.
Yeah, I'm a little gaseous right now. I don't think vino would be good.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers with the H2O.
Well, we are excited to be back here. I had an idea for an episode and I'm excited to talk about it tonight. And a lot of us and a lot of people who are listening to this podcast are finding that this place kind of feels like home, right? Mm-hmm. Asking a lot of the same questions, bouncing around same ideas in this thing of kind of deconstructing our belief system or like the church culture that you grew up in. So I use the example that depending on kind of the environment that you grew up in or the church culture, there are certain aspects of who Jesus is to you that is mm-hmm. going to be emphasized. Mm-hmm. And whatever is emphasized is going to be sort of those pillars or foundations of which you build your faith upon. So when the time comes for you to have to start asking questions, exploring doubts, and deconstructing, there's going to be some pillars that feel like are uprooted in your life only for you to discover new things. So in the process of unlearning, the beautiful thing about that is that there is still learning mm-hmm. that is a part of that. You unlearn something, but you're going to learn something new. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love about this, and I've shared this story before, but one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, right? They have sort of like this disappointment and this pain that they're sharing this conversation, and they're walking away from the holy city. They're walking away from Jerusalem. Jesus didn't do what they thought he was going to do, mm-hmm. right? We all come to these kind of junctures in our life. And as they're walking away, Jesus appears to them and he walks with them, but they don't even know that it's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing that in their deconstructing and in their walking away, they get to learn an aspect of Jesus that they would have never learned if they'd have stayed where they were at.
Mm.
Wow.
So Jesus comes and he walks with them and they start to discover all these new things. And it's not till they're breaking bread and they're like in fellowship with one another. It says that their eyes were open and then Jesus disappears. That I'm convinced there are only certain things that you can learn about Jesus when you walk away and Dang. When you unlearn.
Shoot.
So that's sort of the backdrop for this episode today of like in our unlearning, what is it that you are actually now learning about Jesus that you're like, oh my gosh, I missed this for all these many years.
Yeah, that is so good. And you know what's funny? Like I did a video for our Patreon peeps, or actually I think it was a public video. Anyways, I haven't read our ratings in a while. P.S. We have 409 ratings.
I've read a couple of them.
And they're mainly 5 stars. But in talking about what you're talking about, like, I always wonder why the idea of deconstruction and why the idea of unlearning scares people so much. Mm-hmm. It makes them so scared. And while you're talking, I'll read this one review, which this is what really makes me laugh. This podcast at first will use some interesting topic to reel you in. And then the longer you listen, you just keep hearing things that go against the word of God. Uh-huh. I'm not saying the American church like they usually say. I mean, some topics go so much against the word of God that if you've never read the Bible, you think their opinion is gospel rooted.
Huh.
1 hour of podcast, not a single reference to the word of God. A biblical Christian will see through this smoke screen. I'm laughing at a couple things. One, she said 1 hour. Okay. So she listened to 1 hour and made this judgment. I don't know which episode it was.
But it was when probably questions, get to know us.
Yeah. When I read something like this, let's just say that she did listen to one of the biblical ones. I'm just wondering what scares people so much that you can't have an honest conversation about doubt, about questioning, about any of these things without somebody truly getting afraid of what you have to say. And that makes it a slippery slope.
I remember when I first started deconstructing years ago, I was at a gala in Texas, and some of my old church friends were there who I used to be really close with, and started to pull away a little bit and realizing we weren't really on the same page on some things. And I remember them asking me, like, well, what's going on? And I was like, well, I'm just asking God some questions right now.
Yeah.
And I remember one of them, who she was my friend, and then the person next to her was like her friend that I knew through her. My friend said to me, she goes, oh, I just don't want you to fall away. Like, she was so scared for me that me asking questions was going to cause me to like backslide or something. And then her friend chimed in and was like, it's okay. Questions are good. Yeah. Ask God questions. And I remember that still today. That was like 5-6 years ago. But that stuck with me about how scared my friend was just to hear, I'm just asking God some questions right now. And she was like,
it brings up what I always say. I really feel that when these people come at us, it really, really, more true than ever, says more about how they view God than how they view you. Because they really do believe that questioning means that you don't believe in God anymore. And it's so weird to me, because to not question, to assume or feel like all your thoughts are correct is like an insane version of pride.
Yeah.
Like if you're just like, no, everything that I believe is right and true. And I remember having a conversation with a guy outside here, because he was a dude right across the way. He was telling me, you know, are you still doing a podcast? Did you read the book of John I gave you? Because I told him I was a Christian, and he still gave me a book of John. So he obviously didn't believe me.
How to make sure.
So he was like, you reading that book of John? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I've read the book of John. I read the whole Bible. I went to Bible college, so I know what it says. And he's like, yeah, you know, I just want to make sure. And he's like, how's the podcast going? I'm like, good, man. We're really trying to invite as many people we can to the table and not be afraid of their beliefs. And he's like, well, yeah, as long as they believe the truth. And I was like, well, your truth is different than everyone else's truth. Oh, there's only one truth. And I'm like, I understand what you're saying, because we say that all the time as Christians. I get it, but
solas veritas.
Your truth is not everyone else's truth.
Yeah.
I don't understand what you're saying. There can only be one truth. If they don't know the truth, then you have to tell them the truth. And I'm like, sir, as much as you believe what you're thinking right now, whatever definitive that you have in the word truth, you have to understand that somebody else believes the exact same thing about what they believe. So as much as you would like to say that there are things when it comes to the word true that are black and white, and they're very easily calculated, you know, can you, the law of gravity has been proven and it's true. It's very easy to calculate that. Sky is blue, grass is green. These are things that are easily provable. Your belief on where you're going to spend eternity is your truth. And he couldn't get past it. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get past the idea that other people have truths that may differ from his. And I had to ask him, I was like, sir, how long have you been studying the Bible? He said, 50 years. I was like, look me in my face. 50 years every day? Are you talking about you've been in and out? I've been in and out. All right, bruh. How long have you been actually studying the Bible? Well, on and off for 50 years. I was like, all right, cool. All right, whatever. If that's what you want to say. But in those on and off 50 years, are you telling me that your interpretation of everything that you're reading is 1,000% right? Like you could look me in my face and say every single thing that you believe that I may disagree on, you're 1,000% right on it? Like you speak fluent Greek and Hebrew. And he's like, I kind of speak Greek. I was like, bruh, this is your ego in its epitome. Like, you're striving to understand. Like, we have to understand. And it's something Roar always brings up, is there's this idea that us as humans, we need to have a firm grasp on what it is that we believe, mm-hmm. or else we feel that we're somehow in this insecure relationship with God.
Yeah.
It's like we're fully aware that we can't understand everything. We just, it's impossible. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. But why does that scare us so much?
Yeah. I feel like for me, the more I realize I don't know, I almost feel more liberty almost. Mm-hmm. Like, and the more I want to like deconstruct, I'm like, there's no way we have God figured out.
Yeah, that's... and a God that we have figured out is not a God worth serving. That right. is just a... It's as much as our mind can contain of him, which mm-hmm. we know in the end, like, and then that's always a silly thing too. Like when you look at questions, like we love to quote the Psalms, right? We love David. David is like, he could still do no wrong. And mm-hmm. he did a lot of wrong.
Yeah.
But like,
I know somebody like that.
How many questions is my man asking in the Psalms? Mm-hmm. Like it's literally just filled with questions. We look at Job, who I think is like an Old Testament figure of the person of Jesus. How many questions, how many arguments is he getting in with God? Like there's always this wrestling that happens, I think, in true faith. Like, you know, for Jacob, it was an actual wrestling with the angel of God. I think for us in modern day, I think it's an actual wrestling with questions and the not knowing and not understanding. Because again, that to me, that is true faith. And I think what happens for a lot of people is faith is synonymous with certainty.
Mm. Yeah.
They think if someone has really good faith, then they absolutely are completely sure of what they believe.
Yeah.
That's never been the definition of faith. Faith isn't necessarily what you believe. It is who you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So for us as Christians, like my faith and my allegiance is in Jesus Christ. Again, as I grow as a person, as a human being, and I grow in that, my beliefs are going to shift here and there. And so, yeah, I think for a lot of people too, it's like, I found that, especially when younger people, right? Like, you know, you're serving in churches and stuff, and you have mentors and spiritual fathers and mothers, and you start asking questions that would possibly put you in the place of stepping outside of that relationship mm-hmm. and looking elsewhere to find mm-hmm. some answers. Mm-hmm. That is an always scary place because, mm-hmm. and again, I'm lucky that I haven't had too many of these in my life, mm-hmm. but I realize that there are a lot of people that the questions that they're now asking is very scary because of the environment that they're in.
Yeah.
And the environment knows and understands that we're not going to be able to give you these answers. And these questions are going to lead you outside of our doors, no longer under our control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's extremely scary mm-hmm. for a lot of people.
I think that's what when people listen to this podcast, that's what I always encourage people, that if you disagree with something that we say, please write in. Please hit us up on any one of the places, because 9 times out of 10 the disagreement may be more so in what you're hearing than what we're saying. Absolutely. It may be more of a trigger. Not saying that everything that we're saying is correct. I'm saying your understanding of what we're trying to say. There's triggers that go off in your head that you hear something, you're like, oh, that's not, you know, whatever. But if you actually knew what we were really trying to say, or our struggle with it, you would know that we're not landing on things here. Our job here has always been to start a conversation. And we encourage you to hit us up so that we can continue that conversation and not be afraid of one another's thoughts. There's this book that I'm reading, is Great Things of Scripture, which I know you have one too, but while we're talking about this.
Wait, do our song.
Yeah, this segment is called What You Reading, What You Reading. On this episode of What You Reading, Richard Rohr's Great Theme of Scripture, listen what he says. He says, we believe that the purpose of religion is to get rid of the shadow side of us. Mm. We don't want anyone to see it, and we spend all our time trying to hide it. Mm. Religion has always seen the shadow as a problem. Jesus spends no time dealing with that, though everyone around him is. He knows that the preoccupation of denying the shadow leads us to denial and disguise, not transformation.
Wow. So how does Jesus handle it then?
Well, Jesus, it's something else that I posted on our Instagram. I don't know if you guys saw it, but you're not on social media
right now.
So I posted this thing where I said, it's interesting that Jesus was never upset at sinners. He was more upset at people who thought they were not sinners. And it's the same thing that this is saying. So when we spend so much time trying to hide the shadow side of us, what we're essentially saying is that we're more perfect than what we think we are.
Yeah.
And that bothers him. Mm. Just like in the Bible, it bothered him, the people who thought that they were not sinners. That's mainly who you see him getting upset at. Is people who continue to... When did he ever get pissed off at the sinner that was saying, help me? He didn't even get pissed off at the sinner that was right by him dying. Mm-hmm. It was just saying, God, remember me. He was like, bruh, I will. Mm-hmm. And this guy was a convicted freaking, criminal. He wasn't mad at him. He wasn't like, ugh, sorry, bruh. You up here next to me. That must mean you did something real bad.
Out.
He was like,
reap what you sow.
Yeah, he didn't say anything like that. And so I think this is it's a very interesting topic that he brought up. Why we're trying to hide our shadow self.
That's actually a super good lead in. Quick story, and then I want to share a clip from actually another horror book that goes with this. But I'm speaking from experience here. For most of my Christian life, I have felt like I'm morally superior than most people. I've been my life has been so set apart. I've been Nazirite, everything unto the Lord. And for a long time, there was aspects of just me being just a human being that I just completely denied.
Yeah.
Dang.
Like feelings of just like, why am I feeling sadness? I don't need to be sad. Why am I feeling depressed? Depression is not all these sorts of things. And last year, man, I hit a couple walls, and I shared this on one of the other episodes. And one of those moments was New Year's Eve when I took an edible. And it was like one of the first times in my life where that denial wasn't there because that wall was completely down. Mm. So it was like now my actual, my spiritual being actually saw my broken humanity in just an unfiltered raw way.
Wow.
And it's crazy because it's like your left hand is now seeing what your right hand has been this entire time.
Yeah. Wow.
But the fact is you've just been in denial. And it's interesting because from that point, recently I've just been battling some, I wouldn't say it'd be probably mild depression. And that's really been the thing that I've been thinking about so much is man, I've tried to deny all these aspects of just literally being human. that is part of it. Feeling deeply inadequate, this is just part of it. And that's the shadow side, right? Those feelings of I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable.
Right.
This is, and so, Richard Rohr, in one of his books, it's called, True Self, False Self. It's on Audible. And he has this quote, and I want to play this for you real quick.
As I am known. In other words, in letting yourself be known nakedly by God. No pretense, no dressing up. You are who you are, who you are. No trying to make yourself something other than who you really are. And that's all God can love, is who you really are. Because that's the only thing that exists.
Right.
All the rest is in your head. And that's what's happening in prayer, is little by little you become more naked. That's from...
Wow.
That part right there was just that's actually the only person that's what exists. These things that we make ourselves to be, hey, I'm so full of faith. I have no doubts, zero questions. That's made up in your head.
Yeah.
Because being human is a part of this, and questioning this thing and greater purposes and all these existential things, that's part of it. But I love that because it's God can only love who you really are. And that's been the thing that I'm slowly discovering right now is man, who I make myself up to be, who I can even deceive myself to be, those aren't real. So they can't receive the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when I can be here naked before God, bearing my soul, actually owning my questions and my doubt and all that stuff. That's the only thing that God could really love.
Yeah. So then in this addressing in this episode, then what is that thing that in our unknowing,
Well, I just wanted to tag on to what you were saying before you switch on to that.
Sure.
Hearing that almost makes me feel like, okay, so if God can only love who we really are, because that's the only thing that's real, everything else is in our head, almost makes me think like, I don't even know the me that God actually loves.
Mm.
Because I can't help but know my thoughts, my fears, my doubts. Like, I don't even know the true highest version of me that God sees and loves. You know, like, that's such a powerful thought.
Yeah. And I think of it in this way of like, obviously Maddie and I, we don't have kids yet. Someday, you know, we hope to have kids, but experiencing nieces and nephews and stuff has been kind of like one of those vicariously, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But you start seeing this little baby that can't do a damn thing for you. And you start to see these aspects of the personality and you're like, God, I am so in love with this. Mm-hmm. Like, this little person. Oh my God. You absolutely just have my heart. And you see these like flashes of that. Obviously they're nowhere near the potential of who they are going to be, but you see these seeds that you like, you know, that they are. And I think of like, in so many ways, I feel like I'm that little kid before God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have no idea who I really am, but he sees the seeds of that. Like, even in my immaturity, he loves me.
Yeah.
Like, even in my messing up and me learning how to walk and me learning how to talk and me barely trying to figure out, like, this is my father, you know? Like, he loves me fully then, not just because of what I'll be, but because of who I am right there in that now.
Yeah.
Like, he loves me. And that's like, that's something I'm really learning. And that's really what's taking me in my own learning to actually learn about God. Is like, you would think that that would be the most fundamental thing that you would build your faith in Jesus on, is the fact that God loves me, right? I remember singing those songs in like Sunday school. Yes, Jesus loves me. And it's interesting because I think in a lot of the church cultures, like, the people who are the most zealous or most sold out, they're the ones who get rewarded. They're the ones who get the mic, yada, yada, yada. And it creates a culture that there is so much striving, right? And there is like, hey, we are praying, we are fasting, like, we are going to receive the favor of God, you know? Yeah. Like, now again, I'm not against those things.
Right.
But I think in that context, there's so much striving to get this like love from God, that if we do enough for God,
right,
if we have enough rallies, God will send revival.
Yeah.
As if he, one, hasn't already sent revival, or two, as if we're still trying to earn this thing from God.
Yeah.
Mm.
And for most of my Christian life, that is where my faith has been. I have been striving so, so much. And it's only now in my hitting a wall and battling depression that I realize, one, I could never do enough. And two, the love that I was working so hard to get was already there for free.
Yeah.
Mm. And the fact that my striving is just proof that I actually don't believe in the finished work that Jesus did on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I fully believe in that moment, I know that I don't have to strive for the love. Like, it was proven in that moment.
Yeah.
And so I'm really learning that right now, because I think I realized a deep truth about myself as I shared. It was like, man, I don't really believe that God loves me. And it's been within probably like this last month now almost, where I am like reminding that of myself every day of like, I'm at my lowest right now. I don't feel like it. I'm not reading my Bible as much as I should. My prayers aren't as good as they used to be, if that's a thing. And I realize, oh, he loves me.
Mm.
And that's what I'm really learning right now, is that, man, I don't actually have to like earn this thing. Like, it's just given to me fully every single day.
And I think the reason it's so hard to understand is because everything in our society is based on metrics. There is not one thing that isn't based on good or bad. You are doing good or you're not. People, all these, you know, us Christians are going to work and you're getting judged by your performance. You can't just go there and be like, my work loves me. They just love me. It doesn't matter if I'm on today or off today. They just love me. And as much as we like to think that we love each other as far as married couples, if one of them just stopped and it was just like, they just love me. I'm not going to try anymore. I'm not going to strive. It wouldn't go well. Mm-hmm. if you go to church and you stop giving, I've heard of some pastors, like, literally this has happened, my friends who stopped giving to the church and then they needed help. The pastor was like, brought up the time when they stopped, like he knew the exact time when they stopped tithing. Mm-mm. And was like, I can't help you.
Wow.
If you don't pray enough, if you're not going to church enough,
if you're not going to life groups,
if you're not whatever, think about it though. You are looked at, are you backsliding? You're not doing well. That's as much, no matter how much, that's accountability. Nah, bruh, that's working for it. And I'm not saying you can just do anything you want, but the fact that we measure each other based on these metrics, everything has a metric. If somebody is successful in life, you can tell by what they have. What kind of car are you driving? What kind of house you live in? What neighborhood are you in? Everything is like that. So culturally, we just find ourselves judging each other in that way. And it's rarely that we can just sit back and be okay with the fact that God truly loves us where we're at. And I remember that when I learned it, so the thing that I unlearned that I missed with Jesus was, I used to really think that going to church was everything that I needed to be. I needed to be involved in everything. I had to be in discipleship. I had to be discipling someone. I had to be at church. So I was literally at church about Saturdays were prayer meetings. Sundays was church all day. Wednesday was youth group. And then we would have practice for like human videos or stuff in between. So I would say I was in church about a good 5 times a week, you know? And I remember that me and my parents would always be in arguments. We would always get in fights. I remember my brother really couldn't stand me because my brother at this point was wilding out. And I would go with my brother because I thought this was me being holy. And I'm glad I went, but I would chaperone my brother. I would drive for him. I would be his designated driver. So he would go to parties and I would go with him. He would go to clubs and I would go with him, but I would stand against the wall in my holy protest.
And be set apart.
And just set myself apart.
Be in the world, but not
in
of
case
it.
Somebody came, they would.
I was in a club.
They would know.
I wasn't at it. No, I was at the club. I wasn't in the club.
Yeah. Yeah, they would know that I am not partaking with these sinners. I remember.
Were your arms folded? Too?
100%.
Praying in tongues.
100%. I remember being in weed lines at parties. Like literally in weed lines, just witnessing to people. Like telling people about Jesus while I'm helping them roll weed. I remember walking into orgies, literal orgies. I'm there just to keep my brother safe. Like that's literally why I was just a soldier for God. And here's the thing.
That was your mission field?
That was
the
my
orgy
mission
room?
Field. Yeah. And here's the thing. My parents would just come down on me because every time I would make a mistake, they'd be like, you go to church. They would always say that, oh, and you're a Christian. And I would always be so upset because I'm like, don't they see me? Don't they see all the good I'm doing? Like I'm protecting my older brother. I'm at church. Like I used to be a freaking thug criminal, like robbing people, carrying guns. My mom is the one that found my gun. You know, like, don't they see how good I am? And they didn't see it. They didn't see all the righteous acts. And one day I remember praying and God told me, quit everything. And I'll never forget it. He was like, quit everything. Everything in church, quit it. I'm sure there's a lot of people here, if you're listening to and you're still struggling with the super Christian of it all, like it's probably, this sounds like heresy, but he told me, quit everything. And I thought it was heresy. But I remember going to my pastors and saying, hey man, I gotta take a break. I gotta chill. I gotta be at home. And I didn't know why. So I remember the day I quit, I went home and I told my mom, I was like, Mom, I'm going to stay home from here on out. And if you need me for whatever it is, my mom is old school. So she still pays bills in person. She doesn't trust the internet. She doesn't trust anything. So we were still going to stores and paying her bills, her JCPenney card, her whatever, like deposits were all physical. I was like, it doesn't matter what it is, even though it was annoying as hell. If you need me, I'm going to be right in that room. And I told my dad the same thing. Don't you know 6 months of me staying home and not going to church and just loving on my parents utterly changed the entire atmosphere of my house? My dad stopped drinking as much. My parents stopped arguing. I remember from that day on, I don't even remember how, like, I can count on one hand the amount of times that me and my dad got in an argument. From me and my dad physically getting into fights. From me knocking my father out. To no more arguing. And all it took was me staying home from church. So that's what in my unlearning and what I missed from Jesus was the idea that exactly what you're saying, there wasn't this need to earn it. And it didn't matter how many times I showed up to church. Yeah. Like, I wasn't like gaining any points with him.
Yeah, there wasn't an attendance sheet.
It was, yeah, it wasn't like he was just like, oh my God, I love you so much more. You're so much better now that you're going to church. And again, this is not us saying stop going to church.
Right.
This is us saying do not trust in the act of going to church as if that is going to make God love you anymore. Because sometimes he may just ask you to stay home. And you can literally alter the course of your family. And that's what he did for me. So that's why the idea when people may come at me as far as church attendance, I'm like, bruh, I already passed that lie a long time ago. Like, I don't, not that I'm going to discourage. I ain't running around telling people, don't go to church. That junk is whack. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying I know better now. God ain't up there requiring this type of sacrifice. He just wants me to obey. And that time when he said, stay home and quit everything, it was so weird because everyone in my church thought I was backslidden. They were like, man, he's not discipling. He's not doing anything anymore.
He fell off.
Hey, who's this accountability partner? Jose, was that?
It was so crazy.
I haven't, yeah. Oh, dude.
But I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I heard and listened because you've only known this side of my family, you know? Mm-hmm. Before it was so bad. It was so bad.
Yeah, I didn't know the bad side. And it's funny because when I go spend time with them, the way they talk regularly, you would think that was the bad side because they're so loud and yeah, passionate. Like, I'll wake up at 7 in the morning. No, mama, why? But, and so I'm like, oh my God, why are you guys fighting at 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
And they're just talking.
It used to be so bad. My dad would fall asleep all the time, just drunk, you know, and my mom would be so upset about it. And they would just fight. And we would fight. The day it all changed was when me and my dad got in a fist fight. He grabbed me by my neck, threw me across the room. I got up and I knocked his ass out. And that from that day on, we became better friends. And I realized why when I asked God that whole time, and this was when I was staying home. This was the apex of it. And it was because he was a street kid. Like, we were two street kids that this is how you earn respect. Like, when you're in the street, like, you have to earn it. You don't just give it. And it was like a rite of passage that day when I knocked my dad out. I earned his respect. It was weird, but I got it. I was like, oh, I get it now. And from that day on, me and him were cool.
You ever knock your dad out, Brandon?
No. We took some MMA stuff together, so we would spar. I'd get the better of him.
I don't know who'd win a fight, you or your dad. Your dad's just pretty fit.
Yeah, he's pretty fit. I'm just young.
Yeah.
I'm still in my prime. So it's like there's a little bit of lag. So for those of you that don't know, my dad, he's like a black belt in this MMA. This dojo he's a part of, they just do a blend of a bunch of stuff. So he's a black belt in that, and I'm actually black belt in Taekwondo. So like, my upbringing was in like martial arts.
Oh wow!
I want to see you fight someone.
dude, the last fight I got in was in high school. I knocked him out. He came in for the right hook. I came under, left cheek. And then right cheek on the floor.
Right cheek slide.
1-2 this time. Yeah, it's so, you said something, dude, that was so profound that I don't think I've ever contextualized it that way, was like, every other relationship that we have in our life doesn't reflect that unconditional love. So it's so hard for us to actually believe that that is available, that that is not just available, but is ours. Mm-hmm. And for us to actually be in the place to receive it, like, that's really challenging for me, because I'm still trying to like untrain myself, right? Like, to just be like, you know what, man? Like, if I never told anybody else about Jesus ever again, he would still love me.
Yeah.
If I chose to walk away from walking with him, he would still love me. Mm. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. why even, like, imagine if banks were like that. It's okay if you don't pay us back.
Hey, don't worry about that.
There's nothing in this world set up to be that way, which is why it's so weird. But why are we so protective of that idea? Like, we need this thing. And I think it's because that's the way that we judge every single thing in our life.
Absolutely.
We need that security to feel like we are doing good. We need someone, something to point at that we are doing good. We need this structure. We need these rules. These rules, we trust in them. Even though we say we trust in grace, we do not trust in grace. If there was actual trust in grace, we wouldn't be hating on each other, because we would understand, you're saved by grace, I'm saved by grace, we're all messing up. Holy shit, this is awesome that we all get into heaven just by trusting in God and his grace. But we don't. We need the freaking rules. I remember the day I decided to stop tithing, because I felt like tithing was an Old Testament principle. Like, we figuratively say tithing is New Testament, but it's not, you know? It's not. Paul says, set aside a sum in your heart, and when we come around, you know, we'll collect it. And people were married to the law of tithing, but without knowing what tithe meant. So when I told people, okay, I stopped tithing, I'm giving now, they thought I stopped because I just wanted to keep my money. But the first year that I stopped tithing, I ended up giving more money that year than I ever did when I was tithing. Because money now became a thing of, oh, I'm just going to hear God and give when he tells me to give. Because really, all of it's his. Mm-hmm. But when I was tithing, I needed that rule. Mm-hmm. And guess what? When I had that rule, if God ever tried to get 11%, I was gonna tell that fool, nah, bruh, I don't see that anywhere. I'm gonna give you tithe means 10. So don't come ask me for more. And I did it like a bill. But then the second I stopped tithing and I engaged on what it meant to give, I understood, oh, it's not about the rules. It's not about the law of tithing. It's really about, where's your heart and does money have you?
Yeah.
Even if you don't give again, I don't like dislike you. It's more so, hey, where's your heart in this?
Yeah.
Are you just scared that you're not going to have? Because I can create the money. I can get a freaking billionaire to just all of a sudden feel okay and want to write me a $100 million check. Like, that's not an issue. But are you just scared that you're going to go without? I needed the rules.
Yeah. A lot of those things too, when I look at it, it's like, it's an outflow of the place of being like, I'm loved. Like, a lot of these things are a lot easier. Any lover is going to outgive a worker.
Right.
Right. So like, there's nobody in a rush to pay their taxes. Like, IRS, please, please, here's this check. But like, if you're giving a gift to somebody you really love, oh, it's your pleasure. Like, it's your honor. Like, I'm going to be the first in line to get whatever Maddie wanted or whatever, you know? But I think all those are an outflow of the heart. But when you're doing all these things as a way to change the heart, that's where you get in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's where I've gotten in trouble a lot. So,
yeah, it's definitely an earning culture. And I get it. It's not easy. And so I think that's why I started not being so upset with these people that come at me. I really don't get upset anymore. Cause I'm like, I remember being you. Like, I can't mm-hmm. ignore the fact that I was you. Yeah. And I put myself under the same type of strenuous driving. I needed to earn God's love. And I was waiting for the hammer to drop. Sometimes I still get caught and lost into waiting the hammer to drop. Like, I
sure.
I'm expecting us to go broke at some point, or I'm expecting us to, you know, to just not win. I hate that. I hate that about myself.
That's for a different episode. What would you change, Marsh? I feel like for me, earlier, Brandon, before we started, you were talking about how, like, the churches we grew up in and how that kind of shaped how we saw Jesus. And, yeah, like, if it was about, like, casting out demons, then you're going to see God as that type. The church I started going to when my parents got divorced, that's when we started going to church. My mom took us to a non-denominational Christian church, and they did a lot of laying hands on people, slain in the Holy Spirit, and then they put a blanket over them and, like, all that kind of stuff, and having, like, prophets come to the church and give prophetic words and, like, all that kind of stuff. And so I think that I attributed Jesus to just, like, signs and wonders and miracles, and if those things and praying in tongues and, like, saying whoa when you pray was not happening, then you weren't, like, super Krish. Like, yeah, you didn't really,
you weren't dialed in.
You weren't dialed in. You didn't, you had some growing to do. Like, and even, like, as an adult going to a church here near LA that I learned a lot from, but it was very much like the fire tunnels and, like, all the you know, crazy miracles happening, and the shofar is blowing, and everybody roar like a lion now, and just, like, a lot of that kind of stuff. And so I think I always attributed Jesus to the big loud things, as, and not so much just the simple love and humanity. And I think I saw that in one of my friends, Sandra, who I've mentioned on the podcast before, who was so generous to me, so loving to me, so kind to me. She was not a Christian. She did not believe. But to me, I would always say, you are the best representation of Jesus that I know. And she didn't pray in tongues. She didn't pray. She didn't know about any of these, like, slain in the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? She didn't know any of that. But all she knew how to do was love, be generous, be kind, forgiving, merciful. And I think that's in my unlearning and relearning, I'm learning just the simple being, the act of being, and getting to know myself is getting to know God. I think is what I'm learning now, that I don't need all the big things.
That, man, that vegan reminds me, when I was going to church, there was these people called, I think they were called Firestarter. It was a ministry. I don't know if you ever heard it.
There's been a lot of fires,
fires,
yeah, in the Christian church ministry world.
I will never forget it, because that's when I was, you know, this was pretty dope. As much as I was like, because I didn't believe, like, they were, it was this ministry that they would come through, and they would basically, it was really when slain,
rip phone books,
slain, no, slain in the spirit.
I could do that.
You know, like the slain in the spirit stuff. You know, I think that's more church terminology, where someone would pray over you and you'd fall out.
Yeah.
Where there was
Benny Hinn,
Firestarter. They would do these big ministry things and outreaches and stuff. And I remember they came to our church, and it was a big, like, there was a big to do, like, kind of like a people on each side of it. It was very interesting. And I was did not believe in this whole fire thing. Cause he'd be from the stage and he'd be like, like that, right? And people would be falling out. I'm like, oh my gosh, this ain't real. And then one time, I think this is also what attributes a little bit of fear to Jesus. He looks at me And I was not a believing of it. I was standing up and he looked at me and he goes, believe. And I fell out. He was like 30 feet from me. I went,
I guess so.
I fell out. And when I came to, I was like, oh my gosh. I was such like, it made me a believer, which I was grateful for. Because all it did was let me know that stop thinking that you could figure this whole thing out. That was what I learned from it more than, oh, let me go try to slay people in the spirit. But one of the interesting things that happened then after that is there was a complete split in our church, in our youth group because of it.
Because of the fire starters?
Because, get this, and this is what happens when you unknowingly trust in the rules more than you trust in the relationship.
What happened?
Because people were falling backwards.
Oh, no.
Instead of forward.
No way.
Yes. Because these two guys, all they read in the Bible, when people fell before God, they fell face forward.
Oh, gosh.
But because people fell...
You can't even get slain right?
People fell backwards. They said, this isn't from God.
This is why we have nice things.
We genuinely lost 15 people from the church, and they never came back. They started their own church at their house.
Is it called Fall Forward?
I have no idea.
Face down.
Face down ministries. It was so weird, but ever since then, I remember I was on the, they tried to get me to come over to their side.
They tried to get you to come to Fall Forward?
Yeah, yeah. It was so weird. But think about it, man. Like, this is what happens. This is what happens when you trust in, when you trust in the rules.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't like know the rules, but bruh, because we fell forward.
Dude, we went falling forward. I can't get over that. That is hilarious.
That was a sad moment in our church.
Oh man.
Gosh,
that's crazy. The other thing too that I've really learned, it just kind of spawned on me, because I grew up in that environment too. Like, you know, a lot of the crazies, a lot of shofars, like a lot of spit out of the shofars. Yes. That's one little known fact. Like, if you're ever in a place, now again, like if you're blowing the shofar too, you should be aware. Like, there's a good chance that your spit can travel through that shofar. Like, I've caught a couple spit on my neck. From shofar blowing at river conferences. Yo. Like, it's the worst. It just, you just feel violated. But
shofar hell got COVID on it.
It is a super spreader.
Yeah.
And I think in that space, you said something and you hit it. And it's the like, oh, you guys aren't dialed in yet. You're not seeing these signs and wonders like us. You're not prophesying the roof off the building. Mm. That like, you actually forget that this is just one stream of many streams that make up the body. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember being in that place, in that space, and really looking down on Catholics, like in their faith. Like, I'm like, y'all don't got it. Y'all don't got it like us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And y'all just do repetitive prayers?
Y'all do Hail
y'all
Marys?
Y'all don't freestyle prayer?
Hail Mary?
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I realized, like, it's like you taking for your body. It's like you just taking only vitamin C and thinking like, this is the only vitamin that I need for my body to be sufficient to have enough strength and everything. And you realize this is one of many things. So it wasn't until I got out of that space actually and unlearned a lot of those things that I learned that there was so much more access to like these brilliant minds and these fathers and these mothers of faith that I actually have access to. Like, I'd say within the last 3 years, I listen to far more Catholic priests and Franciscan priests than I do, for sure, not evangelical. Sorry, Dig. Not really listen to like a lot of the revival crowd as much anymore. Mm-hmm. And I've found that they're actually building my faith in a way that hasn't been built.
Yeah.
So it was like, I had a like, learn that there was actually other streams to drink from and that is completely okay. And that's actually going to give you probably a fuller picture. Mm-hmm. And you could even extend that outside. Like, there are teachers in nature. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who can lead you through guided meditations that are going to, it's going to help feed your soul. Like, it is okay to drink from other streams. Now, again, I'm, I'm sure people could stretch out however they want.
Yeah, that's a
trigger. Yeah, they could be like, where are we going to go listen to Metallica now? You know, listen. But I'm saying, like, again, he is so big that he's not contained to the church or the culture you grew up in.
100%. Yo, in church, in Bible college, one of my main worship songs, I went from McLaughlin. Donnie McLaughlin. Fall down, we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. And then the very next song was, Father, forgive me, because where I'm living ain't right. Black hate white. White hate black is right back to the same fight. They got us expecting the war, but the real war is follow the law, the Lord. Father, forgive me. That was straight DMX. That was on my playlist, my worship playlist, DMX.
Yeah.
My roommate style was straight like crazy. But the song ministered to me so much. That one and Lose Yourself from Eminem.
Oh, God, that song is so anointed.
It is.
Sheesh.
People will, if we said that out loud, we are saying out loud, they will never believe it. But the amount of times I've had as many moments with God listening to Eminem's, that song than I have, you know, listening to Fred Hammond.
Dude, God, like, that's the one thing for me, too. I used to always feel bad about listening to secular music, and now I probably listen to more secular music than I do worship music.
Sure.
But the worship stuff I do listen to, I really connect with. So it's kind of like, why listen to worship music if it's bad and it doesn't lead you to God?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that it makes you also question too, like, because when we look at scripture, it says that if I be lifted up, I would draw all people into myself. So if you're listening to stuff that's not drawing you into him, it might not be him.
Yeah. And okay. It's not that it's bad stuff. Yeah, it's just for certain people.
Right.
It's not like I am stuck in the 90s. All I listen to is Fred Hammond and old stuff, Kirk Franklin.
Yeah.
Manny makes fun of me a lot because my playlists are like these meditative like sounds and chants that I'll put on. And it's just like, I love him, like, I have no idea what they're saying. But there's something about the vibration of it that gets me in that space where I'm like, ooh, yes, Lord, I receive. And like, I don't even know what they're chanting.
Just a new school of worship is hard for me to get down with. I need someone to tell me exactly how they're feeling and why. So when I listen to Fred Hammond and he's like, when you can't pay your bills, when you know the Lord needs to come through so you can pay your rent, I'm like, yes, I know what this means. But when it's like, all the presence is thick in this place and the spirit is rising from the ground. And I'm like, bruh, I don't know what that feels like. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, it doesn't connect with me. I need like the real, this is exactly what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling.
I feel like I respond more to the other one. The what is it called? Ethereal? Like,
it's a vibe, that's for sure.
I can go there because it feels like mysterious, whereas like if you can't pay your bills, I'd be like, well, I can pay my bills, so I don't think this applies to me anymore.
I know, but I think I connect. It's like when people sing about the anointing, I'm like, bro, tell me what that feels like. What does the anointing feel like? Describe the anointing to me. It's very hard to do.
I have though been vibing out on some gospel songs lately that are very like
what's that one that we like?
Basic that principle. One? Like, I still bump Martha Muniz's New Season.
Oof.
All the time. Like, when I feel like I'm on the verge of something, it's a new season.
Yeah.
It's a new day.
Fresh anointing. Who is this girl?
It's flowing my way.
Yeah, so much Fred Hammond in this place.
But lately I've been listening to like... there's one.
Travis Green.
Tasha Cobbs. Eyes haven't seen.
That's the one I'm talking about. Mm-hmm.
Ears haven't heard of the blessings that's about to fall on me.
Yeah.
Is that I'm Getting Ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Or This Is a Move from Tasha Cobbs.
Yeah.
Intentional, Travis Green.
Mm-hmm.
That's a freaking...
I'm feeling, what's his name right now? I forgot. Kev on Stage always talks about and like makes fun with him. McReynolds, Jonathan.
Jonathan Reynolds.
Yeah, Reynolds or McReynolds or one of those.
Yeah.
I feel his music. I like his stuff.
That's dope. Yeah, I'm a huge like Jason Upton has been my dude for years. He's like a friend.
Just like that prophetic worship.
Yeah, but he's like, but theologically, man, he was like, this path that I feel like I'm on, he's been on that path way longer. And it's funny because now when I go back and listen to his older worship stuff, I was like, yo, you already deconstructed, reconstructed. Mm. Now you're just bringing this for everybody else. Mm. Obviously, United Pursuit.
Yes.
I mean, William Reagan.
Reagan, yes.
Dude, every time. Tell all my friends that worship album.
Mm-hmm.
It gets me to tears almost every single time still. Of course, Fred Hammond. And you know what? Like, even though I would consider him one of my best friends, William Matthews' music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually really connect to God with. Like, mm-hmm. his album, Cosmos,
mm-hmm.
there's still songs on there that, like, literally bring me to tears. Like, yep. the Cosmos, the actual self-titled track on that album, mm-hmm. I was listening to last night in my car. And I just started crying. And I just mm-hmm. felt God. And, like, and so, yeah, shout out to Will, man. I love you, dude.
Yeah. I have a few of William's songs on my playlist. And when they come on, I don't think, oh, this is my friend. I'm singing his song.
Oh, I'm just awed by, like,
yeah.
his gift.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's that album was so good, man. Ugh. And yeah, that's like, you know what though? Like, it's so funny because I have like a really short list of worship music I actually listen to.
I have different playlists.
It's so crazy. Like, I listen to more probably instrumental
mm-hmm.
than I do actual like quote worship music.
Yeah.
But like, yo, there's some Kendrick Lamar songs. There's some J. Cole, mm-hmm. some Ye, some Drake songs that like. Mm-hmm. Man, really get me in this place. And I realize, like, as I'm saying this, when I say get to that place, I think what I'm describing is this place where a lot of the exterior noise mm-hmm. kind of gets quiet
mm-hmm.
and I start to feel my heart and my soul open up
mm-hmm.
and become aware.
Yes.
And that is the space that, like, that's the money spot. Yes. That's, like, where you get to receive all mm-hmm. it is God's trying to, like, give or... and. You know, bless you with. So there's a lot of stuff that gets me to that space.
I mean, The Greatest Showman soundtrack does that for us. We'd put it on in the house and just worship and vibe out. And
oh my God, The Greatest Showman is so anointed. I don't know what else to say. It's so good. Yeah, I literally find myself just experiencing God through it. Mm-hmm. It's so weird to say.
Like when I want to be like, I want to connect. A lot of times I'll go to that album because I know as soon as I hear freaking, what's his name?
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. From now on.
Yeah.
These eyes will not be blinded by the lights.
It's that unlearning. Yes, it's that only learning, that understanding that you can find God in everything and everywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be one way. It really doesn't. I love that. I hope you guys got something from this episode. Because I didn't even notice that an hour has gone by already.
Wow.
And shout out to our new table.
Yeah.
You like it? I don't know if anybody noticed on the YouTube, we got a new table.
Ish.
Yeah.
Ish a new
table. And a shout out to Amazon. Amazon, I freaking love you. I'm going to give Amazon one of these. You know what I'm saying? Amazon, I'm going to give you an applause because your freaking customer service is so awesome that I got this table, only the bottom half. So I call them and I'm like, yo, I only got the bottom half of the table. And they're like, okay, we'll refund you. You don't have to send it back. And I was like, all right, but I don't have a table. So I went ahead and got on Amazon and bought another one.
Mm-hmm.
3 days later, the top of the table comes. So I'm like, okay, well, we got our table. Let me cancel the other one. Try to cancel the new one that I bought. And it didn't work. They're like, it's shipping to you. And I'm like, dang it. They said, return it when you get it. Cool. I go to return it today and they only give me like one label. And so I call Amazon and I'm like, hey, I only got one label. Do I just print two copies and put it on each thing, on each package? Because it came in two packages, the bottom half and the top. And they're like, let me see if we can refund you. You won't have to send it back.
Now we got two tables.
They refunded me the second table. Oh,
okay. This is the word for 2021. The Lord says double portion.
Double portion and you will not have to sacrifice.
Yes. Come on.
It was amazing. So shout out to Amazon.
Shabba.
I'm a freaking
thank you, Uncle Jeff.
Fan forever. You, yes. I'm Bezos all day. And since I read at the beginning of the podcast, I'm going to read at the end of the podcast something good. This is, we encourage you guys, when you can, go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, go to YouTube. If you like watching our faces, subscribe. on YouTube, hit the bell, go to our Instagram and hit the bell on our Instagram so that you
we
can
have a
always
lot of
get
5-star reviews.
Yeah, so you can always get updated on all everything that we post. So all these things like super help algorithmically. And so on our customer ratings, there was only 1, 2, 3, 4 not so good ratings out of the four, out of the multiple, whatever. But I wanted to read a good one because we read a bad one. And who knows, if you guys leave a comment, we'll read yours out loud because I want to start doing this. And this is to DrewBot09. I don't know if you're still listening to us. Hopefully you are, because your review makes it seem like you would be. But DrewBot09, you guys are really doing a good thing. I have learned more about my faith in God listening to this podcast while not being a part of a church than I ever did when I was in one. I don't think I would be in touch with God as much, if not at all, if it wasn't for you guys sharing your love and faith with the world. And as for the people giving 1 stars because of the cursing or profanity, they're just looking for something to find wrong. And what you guys are really trying to do at the end of the day, which is bring people closer to Jesus. Please don't ever stop.
That's awesome.
DrewBot09, we want to say thank you and we love you for this comment because you get it. And I also love the 1 star who says, you know, I don't understand the need for profanity. I love you, Terry Watkins. I appreciate you and your 2 stars that you gave us.
Also, Aggie said, I really did enjoy the podcast, but hearing him say the N-word was unsettling and annoying.
1,000% she's white. She's a white person that's angry for us people of color.
Okay, end on a good one.
For us people of color, she's mad for us. I just finished listening to season 1 and I am truly inspired, and I just love listening to your stories and perspectives. I have actually just asked my friend to join me in listening so we can come together and chat about our thoughts on these different topics.
Aww.
Love you guys. Which is essentially the heart of this podcast.
Yeah.
Pull up a chair, figuratively, but also when you're with your friends, like, dialogue about this stuff. And please hit us up.
And you can join our Patreon and literally pull up a chair to our Zoom calls.
Yeah, we're doing so much on Patreon now, you guys. Before this episode, we actually had our Patreon members pick this episode of what we're going to talk about. We're for the second tier, which is $12 and up, there's you can join our pre-show. We're pre-gaming, where we're just going to talk about what we're discussing or what we want to discuss, have you guys weigh in if it seems like an interesting episode to you guys. So, like, these Patreon people are literally, you have no idea, are such an important factor on a lot of things that we say and do. And our VIPs, who are $25, they get to do Zoom calls once a month with us. And it's so dope. Like, I've had so much fun getting to know all of them. Joanna, Jasper, freaking
Mel.
We can go on and on. Brittany,
Alyssa.
Like Alyssa. So many people. Sharon that just joined. So many people. Maddie and her man. It's been such a great atmosphere, and I look forward to them all the time. And I think it's just been a blessing. So if you want to know what it is, there's a link in the description. And again, subscribe. It would be amazing. We just want to keep doing more and expand this little universe of ours. So we love you guys.
It's
and like
a
we
new
like to say,
season.
We pray that you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you're always welcome at ours. Cheers.
Hydrate.
Cheers. Hydrate.
Man, I'm lit, yeah. New whip, yeah. Got a crib with a view that's sick, huh? Went from broke to having everything I wish, huh? Gotta love it when my mama get the flex, yeah. Woo. All my success, yeah, she no test. Her little boy wasn't poor, but he focused. Baby boy married up, that's a bonus. All my brothers eating good, that's a Jonas. I'm a freak show, but I'll take that. Boy, I never needed school to be a class act, nah. Boy, I never needed school to be a class act. If you ready for the new thing, let me hear you. If you ready for the new thing, let me hear you. Yeah. Come on. If you ready for the new thing, let me hear you. Let me hear you. Yeah. If you ready for the brand new thing, let me hear you. Let me hear you. If you ready for the brand new thing, let me hear you. Let me hear you.
nobody beat me down, I'm a tall one. We ain't slowing up, this a light speed. A lot of y'all ran out of gas trying to catch me. Dang, it's a new thing, man, it's a new dream. It's a Wu-Tang Clan, gotta get the new cream. Can't nobody stop me, fate kinda obscene. Man, I'm trying to plant a money tree in the concrete. Yeah, this a do it till I die kinda vibe. I don't see myself, I just do it for the tribe. I can't see me ever giving up, it's a lie. Make the whole world come alive, yeah, yeah. Get ready for the new thing, let me hear you. Get ready for the new thing, let me hear you. Yeah. Come on, get ready for the new thing, let me hear you. Yeah, get ready for the brand new thing. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. If you ready for the brand new thing, let me hear you. Let me hear you. If you ready for the brand new thing, let me hear you.